Let me get your deep man.
You get off my file. You don't know me and you don't know my style.
Who be getting grand when they come to a jam? Here I am, the method man.
So when I grew up, this was like, this was pretty much like the Migos of our day. Well, you know what's funny is when this came out, like Wu-Tang and Method Man, we were on the West Coast, so like that was around the same time like Tupac was really big.
Right.
So actually, there were only a few handful of people that knew about like Wu-Tang and Mobb Deep, and like people would, they always, you know, would address me as like the underground dude. Because, like, East Coast hip-hop was really underground because the West Coasters just, like, Ice Cube.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I appreciate it now, but I grew up, I really thought it was whack. I didn't like Tupac. I didn't.
All the gangster rap?
I wasn't into it. I just was in a Wu-Tang.
Was it because of fear, or was it because of just...
No, it was because I was more into, like, the East Coast. I just felt like the writing was better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like lyrics. I like metaphors. Like, I always thought Wu-Tang was funny because they were like, yeah, yeah, we grow like a plant, son, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they always had, like, yeah, we like the sun, yeah, we're, yeah. It was just so, like, it was so raw and different, and, like, I like the style of it. And
even the way they start off this song on the track or on the album, how he's just, like, threatening the dude for the first two
weeks. Yeah, he's threatening.
Like, I'll fucking spill your cement in the mouth and shit like that.
Yeah, it's always, they were always going at, like, it was like the Chris D'Elia thing where it's like, who are you addressing this to? Like, we want to know the guy who's, you know, the victim of this, you know, of these threats.
Yeah. But no, that's and especially like since it's kind of crazy at the fact it was like the two extremes of like you had the gangster rap happening at the same time as the Tribe Called Quest or De La Soul.
Yeah,
like the peaceful, positive rap guys.
There was the conscious rappers.
The conscious
rappers.
And
then you had like the rugged, but the common thing is they were all East Coast.
Yeah,
like I felt like East Coast, the sound to me was just more appealing.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be on Plug 1-2, which was a podcast that was kind of, like, talking about this stuff.
Was it a hip-hop podcast?
Well, Plug 1-2, the guy that originated it, Charlie Love Soul, he was a huge De La Soul fan. So that's where, like, From Me, Myself, and I, where it's, like, Plug 1 and 2.
Oh, hippies, okay.
So, like, he, like, just had this tribute of the title from De La Soul. And
well, I think what's cool about you, and you seem to have the right grasp of, I feel like the music, I think, like, I would trust you with your music as opposed to, like, someone else, because I think your taste is good. Just because, like, you know, I've seen, like,
it's broad, I'll say that.
Well, it is broad, but then you also like good hip-hop, like Method Man, or, like, you know, Steve Lee doesn't know who these people are.
Outkast, man. I grew up on Outkast.
Okay, so you're, I don't want to put your age out there, but are you, like, in your 30s?
No, 26.
So you're like mid 20s. So you grew up, what was like happening when you grew up?
For music or for?
Just music. What was on the radio? What was big at the time?
All right. I remember Kiss FM being the number one station.
Oh shit. Was Rick Dees?
Rick Dees.
He was still on the radio? Is he still around?
If he is, he's like on 92.3 or
Rick Dees, dude. He was like the OG, dude.
So, you know, I work in radio. A lot of people know I still work in radio, and I'm working on the AM side. And so it's so funny because one of the guys that I'm working with, I'm the producer of a show. One of the talents, all he talks about is how he used to work with Rick Dees and how he used to do impressions on Rick Dees' show on Kiss FM, number one market, everything else. And then, like, just to shut him up one morning, I remember I just walked in and I was like, who's Rick Dees? And, like, his face.
He got pissed, huh?
Well, no, his face was, like, blank as if, like,
he had that shattered face. You know what would be another good one is if you're, like, he should have been, like, if he'd been, like, huh? He'd been, like, Rick Dees, these nuts or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rick Dees nuts.
But, okay, so Rick Dees was on the radio station. I was, like...
So how old are you when Rick Dees was? Was this, like, a little kid?
Yeah. Oh, my God. My faintest memories were of Rick Dees' voice. And like
being, a little kid, like, listening to... Was he on Kiss FM?
He was on Kiss FM.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to remember...
So where were you born? Where were you
TLC raised? Would come up a lot. Okay. But the first rap song that I ever fell in love with was Rosa Parks by Outkast.
Okay. Good
and,
song.
And that was my brother who brought... the album, Aquemini.
And how old are you?
I was, so if Aquemini, I want to say it was like 98, so maybe 6, maybe 7.
6 years old? Wow. Yeah,
6 or 7, around that ballpark.
That's a very young age to acquire like a good taste, you know?
Yeah, and I remember Nirvana. I remember No Doubt. A lot of my music came from my siblings, because I'm the youngest of 4.
So there's 4 siblings. And sisters or brothers or?
Yeah, girl, boy. And I was No Doubt's Return to Saturn. What was that?
So because you're the youngest, are you the baby?
Yes.
You get treated like a baby?
I still do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see you kind of have a... I can see you being the baby. I don't know why. You just seem like you'd be the youngest guy.
I have this forever label of a child in me. Like, it's just like my inner child always shows.
And, you know, do you come from a really loving family?
No.
Is it fucked? Because you're such a nice guy that I'm thinking, like, did he have, like, the perfect family growing up?
No.
Or is it fucked? Or
I grew up in a mobile home. My parents...
Really?
My parents were, like, split.
So you, like, a mobile home or you mean a trailer?
Yeah. Well, like a mobile home park. And okay. So here's the... Okay.
Is this in California, the mobile home park?
Yeah. This is how fucked up things were. We didn't move into a house until I was in second grade. And my oldest sister is 10 years older than me. When she was in high school, we were still at the mobile home at this point. But when she was applying for colleges to go to a 4-year, I remember she went to my mom and then was like, hey, I need to sign out this financial aid port. How much do you and dad make? And then she was like, I'm sorry, sweetie, but you can't do the financial aid form. And she was like, why not? He goes like, because your dad makes over 6 figures. And she was like, what the fuck? How come we don't see it? And it's because my dad would gamble it all away every single day. We grew up in poverty because my dad had a bad gambling addiction.
Oh, so it's not like you were in poverty. It was like, you could have been good, but
And we didn't get into a house until my mom was set. Like, all that hard work was her fucking working her ass off to get into that house. My dad was just kept on.
And they're split, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way a marriage could survive fucking gambling off your daughter's tuition. Dude, we say that as a joke on our prank calls. Like, he was doing that for real.
Yeah, for real, for real.
What was he gambling? Was it blackjack?
Texas Hold'em.
Texas Hold'em. Okay, yeah. So now is he gambling still?
He's too broke to.
Oh, so he's done. So
I call him sometimes, and like when I call him, he's like, hold on, can I call you back? And like, that's the thing. He would always guilt trip me, going like, Zach, how come you don't call me? I'm your father, blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm like, dude, it's a two-way street. You call me. And then he was like, no, you're always busy. And I'm like, well, every time I call you, you're in the casino. He goes like, I promise you, I don't have enough money to do that.
Or where is he living now? Does he have a girlfriend?
Bakersfield. He's by himself.
In Bakersfield. Bakersfield.
And so, like, he's probably heading up the Aviator Casino.
Yeah.
Like,
Like, he's at the Green Tree.
Like, you probably definitely have seen him.
at the Aviator. That's fucking funny. Okay, so your background is your Arabic, right?
Yeah.
So is your dad Arabic?
Yeah. He's, like, doing Ramadan right now.
Okay. Is he, like, a legit Arabic dude? Like...
Well, he's obviously not legit.
Like, no, not... that's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's not sticking to the... But, I mean, in terms of, like, is he 100% Arabic?
Yeah.
Okay, and your mom is Arabic?
No, she's Catholic.
No, but your mom is what...
She's Spanish.
Okay, you're Mexican and Arabic.
I'm Spanish, French, and Arab.
But is your dad a full Arab?
Yeah, 100%.
Does he have the accent? Like, I'm not gambling right now. I'm just, you know. No, oh, that sound. That's me pumping gas. Or he's lying. Yeah, no,
he's totally Americanized now.
Okay.
He's been in the country for like 4 decades or so.
So I grew up around 3 best friends who are like Arab.
Yeah.
Where like every morning his dad would be praying on a rug to like doing Quran like chants.
Yeah.
And he just was very like... I don't know. You know how, like, there's that stint with Middle Eastern men? I don't know. I mean, I grew up, it was like, there was a term for an Arabic called bakhil. Like, it was like, you're a cheap fuck. Bakhil. Like, he was very selfish.
Uh-huh.
And so he would get really mad about little things like he wouldn't want me walking around too much because he felt like he was losing money. So, like, for example, like, we would all
like
go to
the wear and tear?
Yeah, he'd be like, can you stop walking around? I pay $1 per square foot.
Wow.
You're walking around, he's making me nervous. Like, he would just say shit like... like, things that didn't make sense, but always involved money.
Yeah.
So, like, because my friend was, like, the coolest dude, right? So, they were the epicenter of the homies. But the problem was his parents didn't appreciate that. Like, I get it if, like, they had a, like, your family, like, maybe they were, like, welcoming. But his dad didn't want us there. But he'd have us there anyways. He'd, like, defy his dad. So, his dad would just do different things to, like, get us to go away.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be times, like, every time I go there, he's watering the front house. Oh, George, your shoes are wet. Stay outside. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I remember I had gotten a brand new pair of skate shoes. Yeah. I was like, dude, they're brand new, man. He starts spraying them. They are now. Stay out. And, like, just, like, one day we got back from skating. And, you know, it's that night. We're all on the dinner table. We're eating Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And it was, like, it goes pitch black. Like, it was almost like we thought there was a blackout. So his dad came out with a flashlight and he goes, oh, last time I checked, who pays my electricity?
Wow.
And he was like, okay, if you don't pay, then, you know, use candle, use here, I give you match. Like, he was, like, stripping off his electricity. And I don't know, it was almost like borderline, like, caricature. Where you're like, is this guy for real or is he being funny?
Yeah.
It was, like, so ridiculously fucking out there that we, like, loved it. Like, we actually enjoyed him being that way because it was so, like, is this an act? You know what I mean? So... you know when it's so, like, you're such a dick, it's funny?
Yeah. That you can't tell if it's, like...
yeah, scripted. I almost felt like he was kind of, like, being, like, dick funny. Like, and maybe he got a I don't know. So because of that, I always thought of Middle Eastern men to be that way. Do you know what I mean? Because that's all I had.
The older, because I grew up half and half in a church and a mosque. And so, like, I definitely get that feel with, like, the Arab men.
The Arab men, right?
Like, there's sometimes where, like, they look so pissed that you don't feel as if, like, you could approach them. But then, like, if you do go up to them, there are some people that are, like, absolute sweethearts. It's just, like, their fucking brows are so low that they look pissed all the time. You know? But that's the thing. Like, my friend Charles, who's, he's Lebanese. Or is it Syrian? I want to say he's Syrian. My bad. I still go to his house. And he's the same age as me. But, like, the thing is, it's, like, he's got a job... His parents are just, like, needing someone to be there for him to, like, to provide for the... or, like, not provide like that, but just, like, security. You know, they're getting older, so, like, he stays with them. And
is this a Syrian dude?
Yeah. And okay. The thing is, like, even his dad will, like... the mom's cool. Like, she'll be, like... if I'm there at 10 o'clock, she'll be, like, do you want anything to eat and all that? I'll be, like, no, that's cool. But then I realize, like, she's, like, kind of the first round to go... of going, like, you better fucking get out, or else in the next 5 minutes, the dad's gonna come. And, like, the dad will come and just be like, aren't you guys tired? Aren't you guys blah?
Yeah, they don't want anyone at the house.
He would try to push me out. He goes, like, it's late. What time do you work? Oh, 6 a.m.? You're not getting enough sleep. I'm like, wow. Are you my dad? Like, what's going on here?
And why are you, like, you're saying everything for me to leave? Like, it's, yeah. Like, beating around the bush.
Yeah. So it's just, like, he wants to put the thought into my head. But when you were just talking about that, that reminded me of what...
And one thing I noticed here, I remember my friend's graduation, so we all had to go to the graduation thing. And normally, like, in any normal family, it's like, we all just jump in a van together. So it was... I was like, what? All the men get in this, like, huge... and it's always, like, a 1980s Mercedes for some reason, that 1984 one... in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Where fucking Hassan gets assassinated in. It's always that same year, right? So they all jump in this big ass black, hella terrorist as fuck, right? All the men just jump in there, like, nice and roomy, like, two dudes in the front, cigars, three guys in the back. And then I just remember, like, all the men just jumped in there, and this piece of shit Geo Metro, fucking light hanging off the end, the door was smashed in. The women got, and they're all wrapped up too. They all got in the, like, shitty car.
Wow.
And I remember it almost looked like it was very, there was too many, like, of them in there. It's like one had to sit on the lap. And then I'm just like, why the fuck couldn't they just go with their husbands? But A, there was two things wrong with that. It was like, B, the car was way too small for like seven women.
Yeah.
And then A, it's like, why do the guys get to take this like nice ass roomy fucking Mercedes? Dude. 1984, and then the women are just like pieces of shit. Like, who cares about you?
I don't mean this to go against women in this country or anything like that, but women in this country don't know how good they have it.
Yes, I agree. I've seen that.
And that's the thing, like, fucking, my dad's from Libya. He's told me stories of, like, how women are, like, I think my dad's learned, especially having two daughters and having them come up in America.
Yeah.
One of them being lesbian. Like,
one of your sisters is lesbian?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing, it's just like...
Was that the one I met on the shoot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she's the lesbian?
She's the lesbian.
No way. Yeah. I didn't even see that one coming.
Yeah, so she's the lesbian. The other one is, she has a kid.
Okay.
But, that's the thing, it's just like, my dad is, like, having to be Americanized. I think it was tough at first, because he was like, well, this goes against my culture, but at the same time, like, I'm pretty sure he looked at his, and it was like, you know what, like, if they want to be themselves... If they want to be happy, then that makes me as a parent happy.
Right.
So he ultimately is like the type of person where it's just like, let girls be girls. Where so, it's so much harder to do in the Middle Eastern countries.
And he migrated here from, like, he was born and raised in...
In Libya.
How about your mom? Is she from...
She's from here. By the way, also, like, a lot of people got it twisted. Like, not all Middle Eastern countries are the same.
No, it's very different. It's right. Like, Chinese... Vietnam and that different.
Exactly. Okay, so yeah, like each like Japan is not going to be the same as Korea.
Like I feel like Saudi Arabia is like the Tijuana of the Middle East, right?
Well, okay.
Like that's what I heard from a Persian guy told me, is like, "Oh, Middle East is very low and they're the worst."
Saudi, okay, depending on which part you go to, like Saudi Arabia is the richest.
Okay.
All the oil and shit. And then that's where the Saudi princes are,
of Dubai course. Homies.
Yeah, the Dubai. So, like, Dubai is, like, the rich part.
I just always picture that big-ass gold fucking turban. And, like, and a sword. The sword with a bend in it. Yeah. It's just so sad how fucked we are in terms of our, like, the way America has shaped cultures in our heads.
Yeah.
Just the way we imagine cultures to be is just so fucking, you know, such a make-believe. Like, because all I've seen my whole life is, like, Middle Easterns to be either terrorists or fucking this dude, this, you know, guy with a monkey on his shoulder and a huge gold turban. And, you know, it's like, it's so weird how Hollywood does so much to bring your, like, just old ways into the forefront of how a culture should be.
Yeah. Now, there's a... I tried pulling up this girl because I remember my brother went over there to play basketball for the pro club in Libya.
Oh, shit. No way.
Yeah. And there's this girl. It's so funny because Libya is the type where it's just like women have to wear hijabs. They have to be indoors. And if they're not indoors at all time, or if they're seen outdoors without their man, if they're unsupervised, like some shit will go down.
Like, what? They'll get fucking thrown in jail?
No, like, fucking, the dudes that are there will handle them themselves, and that's fucked up.
Like, bride burn and all that shit, right?
Like, rape.
So they're, like, just treated way less, like, shitty, right? Like,
yeah.
Just not equal.
Right. Whereas the next country over in Tunisia, or, like, in parts of Egypt, there's fucking girls that are like Britney Spears, where it's just like you see them on television and they're like just pop singers and like they dress just the same.
Right.
So there's this girl, Ruby. She is an Egyptian singer. I'm trying to pull her up right now. But yeah, no, she was like, my brother was like, dude, this girl is like the Britney Spears and she's like the hottest shit that like even guys anywhere would jack off to.
The girl in Egypt?
Yeah. This is what she looks like.
I want to see what she looks like. Oh, god damn, she's hot.
Yeah, so she's kind of like Kim Kardashian, but, like, just the Arab version.
Isn't it also nuts to think, like, you know, like just think of how famous she is in Egypt, but I just heard of her here.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we forget to realize, like, we're very, not really that big in the world, like, as much as we think we are.
We still don't know shit about India, and they got, like, the world's largest population.
You know what I'm saying? Like, now I'm meeting these people. I work with these people in China, and I'm just getting my mind blown every day because I didn't even know I was Chinese until I met these guys. Like, now I can say, yeah, I'm Chinese as fuck, because it's like, I eat Chinese food every day, we go to massage parlors, like, I'm doing Chinese shit.
Would you do the massage parlors?
No, it's none of that at all, but here's, okay, I'll let you in on a little secret. So, if you guys don't know this, in China, business is very big.
Yeah.
So, part of business is, like, it's all about building relationships. So, one of the main things which the government has shut down as part of, like, a business is prostitution. So, like, my boss was telling me, like, let's say we're business. In the span of a day of doing business, we would go have dinner, we'd go have drinks, we'd go fuck whores, go, like, have more drinks, like, fuck more whores.
Yeah.
And it's like, I never had, like, I've been in, like, I've been in a sales job for 10 years. And never was, like, fucking prostitutes part of the, like, company retreat. You know what I mean? Like,
imagine being a sales guy. Like, in order for you to close a sale, you have to fucking close it inside a girl.
That's how it is. He's saying, like, you know that shit you see in Rush Hour where they come up from the ground?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. You literally will go to a place and describe what you want. And, like, it's just crazy, Zach. They bring 20 at a time, and you're like, I'm straight. Next. Now, you can literally, like, they're Tinder swipes.
Wow.
Nope. And then you, like, not only, okay, so they're even, like, normal prostitutes you just have sex with and done. They massage you, they clip your toenails, and they spend the whole night with you.
What the fuck?
So it's like, they fuck you and you're like, you're basically, like, you get this whole experience.
So it's kind of like an escort experience.
Yeah, but you get everything in a night. Wow. And then you go back to, like, your business meeting agenda in the morning. And this is part of their, like, it's like, okay, 8 to 10, this block off, we'll be having, you know, we'll be having sex with, intercourse with prostitutes.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow we'll re-adjourn for, you know, the fucking, you know what I mean? It's just Dish. Like, wow.
God damn.
And it's so prevalent that I remember driving home, getting picked up from this guy that, he drove a super shuttle uh-huh. from the airport. He was an Asian guy, Chinese guy. And you know when you try to talk to them, and you can tell if someone's into your shit or they're just shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
This guy was, like, not wanting to talk to me at all.
He was, like, stonewalling you.
Just big time. He was, like, turning the music louder every time I said, oh, hey, so what do you do? Oh, I do business. Just very, like, frank. And then I just said a joke. I go, yeah, well, it must be nice to, like, you know... like, probably get a lot of good hookers or something out there. Like, you know how I am, like a comic.
Yeah.
Dude, he turns the radio and he's like, what did you say? I was like, in China, there's a lot of, like, you get a lot of sex. I was like, oh, yeah. And then, like, he came alive. Yeah. Now he was all engaged and he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I get, he was like, one time I have full one time.
Wow.
I pay $50 each, 4 to 5 seat, you have all. And then I go, are you married? Yeah, I have wife and kids. I was like, you have a wife and kids? What do you tell? Oh, I just tell them I do business. They don't mind. It just, and then, like, it's so, like, part of the system that it's just a service.
Yeah.
The wife is like, oh, after you're done getting your dick sucked, come home and we'll have dinner.
Well, I still think there's also parts of, like, the Arab culture where it's just, like, they have, what was it, polyamory? Or, like, what's it? Like, fucking what the Mormons do, where it's, like, more than one wife.
Polyamorous.
But, like, the polygamy?
Polygamy, yes.
Yeah,
polygamy.
It's, like, they got that going on in some culture. But it also depends on your wealth versus, like, something that's religious. So, like, the more wives you have, it's a more of a reflection of, like, your trophies of, like, look how much fucking my bank account is, really. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, some dudes just fucking pull it off, like those cult guys. Like, you know, like, Dave Koresh and all those weirdos from, like...
Dude, yeah.
But could you imagine, like, do you think you could ever pull that off?
What, multiple wives?
Yeah. Like, if you could... Okay, let's say, Zach, we would let you get away with multiple wives, dude, and we wouldn't judge you.
I've only had one girlfriend.
Would you still just do the one girlfriend thing?
Well, dude, I've only had one girlfriend in my entire life.
I don't think I could have multiple... Like, I don't have that in me to have multiple wives.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have that in my personality. It's because I think I saw growing up, like, love and my parents always being together and no cheating. So you're a reflection of what you grew up around.
Yeah.
So, like, if you had a scumbag dad who was, like, in and out with different bitches and just, like, you know, you always think, like, oh, no wonder that guy's like that. You know, we all have friends like that. They just fuck around.
Well, that's also kind of my dad's background, but I hope not to reflect that. But yeah. I will say that, like, yeah, I would just want to try to find one person.
So you, like, kind of a hopeless romantic, would you say? Like, you...
Yeah. And, like, that's the thing where it's just, like, I even though, like, my dad's probably not the best role model in that case, I still look at my grandfather. And what he had with my grandmother was, like, yeah. over 50 years of marriage of them waking up next to each other every morning, him getting up, making her breakfast.
Making your mom breakfast?
My grandma.
Oh, that's sweet. Your dad did that?
My granddad.
Okay. So, oh, that's sweet. Yeah, see, that old love.
Yeah, so that was the thing, like, where my grand... Like, my mom would drop me off at their house as she would go to work, and they would babysit me through the days because they were both retired.
Okay.
And so, like, I'll wake up each morning to them, like, him making waffles and breakfast and shit.
That's
like that.
That's so cute.
And I'm having breakfast with them at the table, and every morning was like that. And there was still, like, the honeymooner joke that was, like, thrown in where it's just, like, it's a joke that's, like, domestic violence, and you're like, I can't laugh about it in 2019, but, like, he would go, like, Zach, if you don't finish your pancakes, I'm gonna hit your grandma, and she's like, Joe! Like, that was...
Would he really hit her?
No, he didn't. Like,
he just made jokes, I'm gonna hit your
grandma. But it's, like, the honeymooners where he's like, yeah. to the moon and back, Alice, like, stuff like that.
Yeah. So you grew up a lot around, like, that type of loving?
Yeah, I would say that, like, even just fucking...
So do you think that's what made you more, like a nice guy, in a way?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think so.
So the third eye kind thing, is that from Third Eye Blind?
Yes and no. It was like something that was like supposed to be like a spiritual page. And yeah. then like also...
I do like that about you. I do like, if you guys follow Zach, Third Eye Kind, although he does comedy, he really is like one of those like self-promote-y guys. Like he just is always just putting things out that is very nutritional just for everybody. Which is a cool reflection of how I look at you as just a very egoless, nice guy who, you know, I think you practice what you preach. And I love reading those quotes.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I think it's just awesome that that's, you know, like most comedians are just kind of busy promoting themselves. Or like, I mean, you rarely post like group pics after shows. I mean, I get it. I love doing that shit, but it's different for everyone. But I just like, I know with you, it's like, at least what you're putting out is just for everybody. It's not Zach. It's like a nice quote, or it's always like a cool comedy fucking throwback quote or...
Yeah, like, that's the thing, where it's just, like, I do post quotes from other comics, and I feel as if, like, I pay homage to them, because they are my favorites. They're, like, the George Carlin, the Bill Burr.
Yeah, I love the George Carlin ones.
The Patrice O'Neill quotes that I share, like, those are...
Well, I even like some of the spiritual ones. Like, you have a lot of really good... Like, where do you find these? Do you just meme? Do you, like, Google them, or...?
A lot of them were from what I read, but then at the same time, like, there were just other pages I followed, which is why... I kind of am a repost page, because, mm-hmm. like, I'm never the type of person that will jack a meme and then, like, to, like, fucking post it. I never like to come off as, like, I know it all.
Right.
And I also like to give people props. So, like, if you have a meme and, like, you did the effort, you did the work, you read this book, and you know what this person's about, I'm not going to just steal it. So if somebody read... fucking Abraham Hicks's book, or like listen to Abraham Hicks's speech, I'm not just gonna be like, oh shit, that's I do listen to Abraham Hicks, but at the same time I'm like, oh shit, there's something that I forgot, or there's something that I didn't listen to that I feel as if I should give props to.
Right.
So like if you shared it, there's like pages like Y Supreme, who I follow, who's a homie and shit like that. I always like to just shout it out and give credit to the homies.
How long have you been doing comedy for now?
2014.
So.
5 years?
Going on 4 years. Really? It's only been five?
Yeah. 2013 was me dipping my feet.
How did you get into the game, though? Like, was it,
So.
I never knew how you got into comedy, by the way.
I first saw Russell Brand at the Largo Theater.
Oh, yeah, I think you did tell me this.
In November 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of being like a funny comic. I was just thinking of like, my intention was to be like the rebel, like the Bill Hicks, or like the George Carlin. And then when I was like watching Russell Brand on YouTube, I'm like, you know, he's gonna be in LA. Why don't I watch him live? Because this guy's a truth speaker.
And how was he live?
He was great, dude. He was like, it was just a one man show. Like, he literally walked up and like did his jokes, no opener, no feature, was there for over an hour, and then like walked off. And I was like,
did he kill it?
Yeah. Oh, because everyone was there to see him, and I was like, this is what comedy's supposed to be like. And then the next place I went to, and then I started going to in the start of 2013, was the Ice House. And I was going there like frequently, to the point where like Ari Manis, who was the open mic host at the time, now he's like the feature for Theo Vaughn.
Yeah, I know, I saw that.
He was like,
is Grant a feature for them too?
Who?
Is Grant a feature for Theo Vaughn too?
Grant,
isn't it Grant and Aris Manis? They like both work with Theo?
I'm not sure. Okay. I just know Ari, because Ari does.
So wait, you were going to the open mic, or are you just gonna go watch
shows? No, I was going to watch shows like Comedy Juice, like I was going to see like certain weekends or certain weekdays.
So you're like a comedy nerd.
I was, like, for 6 months.
And then, was there anyone you followed in particular at the time that like, or were you just like watching the variety, like seeing new people?
Okay, like let, like, all right, before I started doing comedy, I saw Vince Royale.
Okay.
Vince even recognized
me. Shout out to Vince Royale. That's my dude right there.
Yeah.
How what did you think of seeing Vince the first time? Did he make you laugh?
Here's another thing, and I don't mean this to put him down or any of the comics I'm about to name, because I saw like Nick Guerra or anything, like.
Yeah.
That's the fuck. The crazy thing is like seeing them on Comedy Juice at that point. Like, as an average fan...
Yeah, I want to know, like, as a not-comedian...
As an average fan, you're looking at them and you're going, like, holy shit, like, these guys are, like... They're so close to being on the up and the right. Like, these are the up-and-comers, right?
You so think, they were like, really funny at when you saw them.
Right, and you think, like... Plus, they're dropping credits, you're like, you seen this next dude on fucking MTV?
That's how I felt, too, because the guys I work with now... I remember the first time I went to the Improv... Just be, you're blown away, right? You're right. Like, holy shit.
Right. And then this was also like a year or two removed from when Nick Guerra had his NBC diversity credit. Okay. I think he ended up winning it, if I'm not mistaken. But that's the thing where it's just like you watch Nick Guerra, you watch Vince, and you watch some other guys like Skylar Stone and shit like that. And like these are up and comers, and you're going like, oh, dude, they're like right on the doorstep. They're like away. Dude, like, fuck it. Like, you're like, next year, they're going to be...
And you weren't doing comedy at all when you started.
I wasn't. And that's the thing. Now I'm doing comedy. I'm like, oh, they weren't as close to the doorstep as you thought they were. But still, yeah. You respect their grind because, again...
Right. We just understand the culture now, like, and we get... Like, when you become... It's like when you first get a job.
Yeah.
You don't know shit about it. You're just like, oh, cool, Google. Oh, I get this cubicle? 1 year later, you're like, that guy's an asshole, fuck him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You get to know everybody.
Especially at Google, where they have massage chairs, so you're just getting massage. Like, you have a masseuse, daily massaging you, and you're just like, fuck this place. You treat me too well here.
The crazy part is, I worked at Yahoo, and they do that because they want to keep you there. Yahoo had a built-in gym. All the vending machines were free. Every Friday was Beer Friday, so... Check this out. You go to your work, and it would be a fridge stock full of beers.
Wow.
And at 3 o'clock, you could just start pounding.
They're cool with you just drinking on the
job. Yeah, and it was kind of weird, because I was like, motherfuckers might get DUIs going home. But they didn't give a fuck. And it was just like, you know, like, food was free, and they would have, like, sushi chefs one day, or it was just... I think they do that because they want to hack you to be there forever.
Yeah. It's like some
Black Mirror. It's like a trick. It's like
Black Mirror shit for
sure. It is Black Mirror shit. It's like, yeah, it's really cool, but now that I'm out looking in, I could never be in that environment. Guess what? I'm having a beer right now. I don't give a fuck. I don't need a refrigerator.
At least you don't have to drive home.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing me, and like, but just knowing that I was part of a machine.
Yeah.
I know how that works.
Were you ever like, did you ever like watch Fight Club and then you'd be like, dude,
I was a tool for 12 years. And when I was a tool, like working those jobs, mm-hmm. I was the worst. Like if you met me during that phase, you would probably be like really shocked to see who that guy was and who I am now.
Did you have a tattoo at the time?
No, I was very suppressed.
Wow.
So what happened was I was this creative guy who I am, like I am now. And then... to impress a girl I really liked, she was the one that gave me the tools to get a corporate job, and I did that for her. And so because of that, I got thrown into this fucking...
Was it the same girl that she wrote?
It was the one I moved to New York for.
The Apollo?
No, she was... Her name was Helene. Oh, I can't say her full name, but let's just say her name was Helen.
Is she married?
She just got married recently.
Your best friend?
No, I met her just... We were drinking buddies.
Oh.
And then I just, like, you know... You know, the thing, too, is when you don't have things going on, and I'm sure you've been in this phase... When you just give everything to a girl, you know, they become your world. Because guess what? You don't have comedy. You don't have skating. You don't have the AM job.
Yeah.
You just have fucking Shakey's Pizza and this chick. So guess what's going to be your deity? This girl, of course.
Dude.
She, yeah. You're having fun with her. She's fucking you. It's like that becomes your reality because you think that's the most happiness you can get.
And that's the thing.
You know, and that's the trap that most guys fall in.
But that's the thing. A girl, like, especially if you sign up with a girl and, like, she signs up. Because when, right before you guys start dating, you guys are practically subscribing towards what one of you guys are about.
Yeah, you're subscribing to each other.
So if you subscribe to her for her looks and you subscribe, she subscribes to you for your passions, your art. Then at the same day, like, or at the end of the day, like, the only thing that could happen is all you guys have to do is upgrade. There can never be a downgrade. So if you're not passionate about what you're passionate about, she'll look at that. She'll be like, oh, my God, he needs me more than what those things that he calls a passion.
Right.
Like, they're more like hobbies. Why should I be interested in him? And blah, blah, blah. Versus even you just looking at her and going like, you know, fucking, she's not as skinny as what she first started out to be. She's becoming a whale now. What the
yeah,
fuck?
She's becoming a whale.
I didn't even sign up to this shit, you know? That's the thing. It's just... Dating, like, we always...
It's a weird thing,
we gotta just upgrade, not downgrade.
You gotta upgrade, and then also, sometimes, too, like, I remember, you know, I always knew inside I was a comedian. I always knew inside I skated, because these are things that all were there before I got into the real world.
Right.
Because no one tells you, you can actually make a living doing something with skating, and you can also make a living doing something with being a class clown. Like, my whole thing in high school is, like, I just always wanted to be that guy to say one word and get the class laughing. I wasn't a douchebag, but I waited for, you know, that time where the teacher sets you up and you get that one line to just crush the crowd, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, just having that, you're just like, no one tells you, like, guess what? Like, go to the Ice House every Wednesday and watch fucking Ari Manis host Comedy yeah, Juice. Like... It's just sad that, like, we're so systemized. And, you know, a lot of people get lost. And I think when, you know, you've been there, too. I bet you have those friends who are like, damn, Zach, you do comedy, man. Always wanted to get into comedy.
Dude, you know, like... The thing that I feel about that is every time they ask you, like, bitch, you weren't funny when I was with you in high school.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You were not, motherfucker. I had a friend actually do that and then do it.
Oh my God.
Lie. Check this out. He's like, I've been doing comedy in the Bay. You got to get me down for these shows. You know what I did?
What?
The worst thing I could have... I call Cochino.
Uh-huh.
I got a guy coming in for the Bay. He has, like, a packed night on Tuesday where, like, he has just killers on the lineup.
Yeah, Cochino has a great room.
So he throws the homie out from the Bay. I wasn't there. Keep in mind, I wasn't there. I just called that night to see what happened. I go, hey, man, how is my guy? He's like, oh, you mean your friend? He's like, did you ever see his tape or anything before? I go, no, was it bad? He's like, oh, was it bad? He's like, he's banned. he's like, I'll give him 15 years. Like, it was just a crazy number.
Yeah.
He's like, maybe 15 years. We'll see if he gets better. I was like, 15 years? Like, it was that bad? I thought the guy had experience. He's like, no. He's like, whatever you saw in there. He's like, he stunk up the room so bad that it hurt the first three comics.
Wow.
Like, he was that bad that he put people in a bad mood. And he said it fucked up the first two, the first three comics that had to follow whatever went on. And I called him. I was like, I thought you were doing comedy. He's like, no, I had done a few open mics. And I was like, well, then say that.
Yeah.
Don't ask for a legit booking.
And that's the thing. Like, I feel as if with comedy, you like a lot of people come from all over the world to come live in LA to either do acting, to do directing, to do producing, to do comedy. The whole thing of the fake it till you make it shit is gonna catch up to you some way somehow.
And then we'll catch your faking.
And if you do that in stand up, yeah, you're getting the experience to be at that level and to practice.
But stand ups, we're not nice people.
Yeah, and that's
we hate everybody, and we'll hate
shit
you.
Gets around real fast.
Real
in
fast.
In this community, it's a big community, but at the same time, shit gets around real fast.
But what I like about you is like I feel like. As much as, like, okay, I'm in the community, but I'm not... I feel like you're more in the community.
I am so out right now this past year.
But in terms of, like, the last 5 years of just seeing you and, like, you know every spot, you know, all these things everywhere. And, like, yeah, believe it or not, it's, like, there is a community, like, of comics. And maybe not all of them are, like... booking the Laugh Factory, getting fucking the headline, you know, these spots. But they're part of this community that actually goes around, is always working on material. And that's a side that I don't really know too well. I mean, like, in terms of, like, other than, like, when I go with you and then we go to, like, different little spots and... this thing's a Santa Barbara, there's a mic here, there's a mic.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's cool, because it reminds me of skating, like, going to different skate spots, you know? And then, like, I feel like where I've been at in comedy sometimes is, like, I'm always at the skate park.
Yeah.
But guess what? Like, there's street spots everywhere, you know what I mean? Like, you the skate park, you get spoiled at the skate park, because that's, like, you're getting paid, you're on a thing where everyone wants to go. But then in the middle, there's just, like, people grinding it out at the street spots. And your goal is not even to impress audience members. It's to impress other comics sometimes. And it's, like, that shit is hard as fuck. Because comics, we just don't care about anything. We don't listen to anything.
Plus, like, if you make comics laugh, not always will it transcend into the real laugh.
Because we're so jaded.
Yeah, so it's just like you're like wondering like how come my rape jokes didn't work in front of this real audience?
Because, and this, like, is every comic at an open mic on their phone
or texting. Yeah,
yeah. And then you'll be like but doing your set and it's just like there's some guy texting. It's like I'm not mad because I would do the same to his set. Like, we just don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah,
you know. And then every now and then you get that one guy who goes in there and just like he just brings the fire, you know. It's just like one dude,
the Sean Williams,
or someone, you know. But that's it, you know. You'll never see him again.
Oh, not yet.
You know what I mean? They just like vanish. Like, it's like, damn, that was sick. And then 2 years later, they add you on Facebook, and it's like, you know, it's like weird. It's like comedy. One thing that annoys me with comedy is not comedy, but the people outside of comedy who think it's easy.
Who's like, dude, it's not overnight, man.
But, you know, you always get that guy who's like, I feel like, you know, if I were to be up there, you know, I this is what I would say, or, you know, I have this guy say to me, he goes, you know, I think I'm so funny, I would probably just go up there and just, like, not even talk. I should just, like, make these weird, okay, cool, let's do that then.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's go to, what's that place Carlos has a new show at, or whatever?
Oh, Shanghai Room.
Yeah, we'll go to the Shanghai Room, let's do that. Let's get you up there.
Dude, seriously.
With your fucking facial expression.
We'll have you wait outside
the Laugh Factory. In a dark-ass room and shit.
We'll have you wait outside the Laugh Factory for a week, just for you to come back the next week.
To do your little facial expressions.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we squeeze you in at fucking, you know, the next, like, Brea improv gig, like, as a guest set. And, you know what I mean? It's just like, fuck you. Like, that gets me mad because it is incredibly hard and it is incredibly courageous, I think, just for comedians, knowing how I feel, to, like, look behind the curtain and you see people eating chicken strips, you know? And it's just like these women that, like, put the fucking, got the baby a babysitter,
yeah,
and made this whole plan to come out and spend this $50 night with you, like, with you?
Yeah.
Like, I just watched fucking Avengers Endgame the other day for, like, fucking $10, right? Like, $15. Best $15 I've ever spent. Like, beginning to end, my mind was fucking blown. You know what I mean?
It was a good ending.
Yeah, but it's like, you're doing the same for my friend doing this, like, comedy, right?
Yeah.
So you're telling me you're going to go up there and do your facial expressions for $20?
Yeah, you're going to waste everyone's
Fuck time. You, dude.
That's the thing. Like, a lot of people look at comedy and then I remember, like, this was out of a place of insecurity when I was first asking this question. Now it's just, like, honestly a deeper understanding. But when I was first coming up and I would ask, I'd be like, how long have you been doing comedy for? The real reason why I would ask that is because I would feel as if, like, in my mind, I would have to get to where they're at half the time that they... So they'd be like, oh, I've been doing it for about 4 years. I'd be like, all right, by year two, I better get this, this, and that. You know, like, it was just like, I was setting a benchmark in my head of what I should be doing, what I ought to be. And that's not the way, dude, if I spent more time writing, I know I would be a lot better of a comic. At the same time, like, I just go end my work and then, like, I'm done with my 8-hour job, full-time fucking gig. I'm working 3 jobs right now. So
and you don't want to go home and think about anything.
Well, yeah, like, as soon as I get home, I fucking crash on my bed.
Well, and also, like, I just sometimes, like, everyone's like, you got to be out there writing. It's like, not really, because some people don't really work well just writing. Some people just like to be on stage and figure it out. Like
I'm not,
have you like, I don't work good at remembering things. Like, have you've been there where you wrote some crazy bit and I'm gonna go do it tonight, and then like maybe you did a little bit of it, but it was like you couldn't remember it, you know what I mean? Like, not the way you wrote it.
Yeah.
When you wrote it, it was a fucking masterpiece. By the time you took it to Wang's, it was like, what happened?
There have been the times where I fucking said the joke the first time, and it was balls to the walls laughter. And then, like, I would try to replicate that and be like, I got that. I know how to do it. And then afterwards, it would just fall flat. I'm like, what the fuck? How come
it's weird, right?
Yeah. And, like, you're just like, dude, I thought I had this surefire gold nugget.
Always have.
I was going to put in my hour special. Where did it go? And, like, you're just looking for it. You feel as if fucking the comedy gods is still right from your...
But that's what's hard about comedy is, like, somehow over time, that will become funny.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things become funny, and you're like, man, it took a long time for that to actually, like, get really funny.
Yeah. One way I like to write now, because, like, in my head, if I know that I want to do comedy at night, then, like, oh, like, my body will do this thing where, like, it just surfaces enough energy to be like, all right, fucking, we're in reserve mode. Let's go. Fucking, where do you want to go? Santa Barbara? With fucking Riverside and shit like that?
Terrence's room, dude.
Yeah. So, on Wednesday, last Wednesday, I went to Riverside, and there's this one mic, open mic, called the Riff Off.
Okay. And, like, you grab from the bucket. Adam Flagg there?
No. But you pull from the bucket, and you get topics, and so... Right from the get-go, I had a good feeling about it, and I just remember, like there was something in my gut going, like, dude, this is going to be good, like, I'm working on new shit, and the first thing I pulled out was a topic, like, Xena the Warrior Princess, and for, like, 4 minutes, I just rattled off of that, and it was just, like that's the thing. Like,
and you just started riffing off Xena?
Yeah, and, like, that doesn't, like, that's another way of just writing, you know? Like,
it is, and how did you do?
I liked it.
You do, like, the la-la-la-la-la? Yeah, she do the screaming.
No.
What happened to her, dude? Fucking Xena.
Lucy Lawless,
dude.
Well, that was the thing I was talking about on the on my topic. It's like, my sister was a huge Xena the Warrior Princess fan, and that's how I knew she was lesbian. And then, like, when she came out later to me, she was like, Zach, I'm gay. I'm like, I knew, because of Xena the Warrior Princess.
Yeah, Xena was a hella lesbian, dude.
Yeah, and that was the thing where it's just, like, fast forward 10 years later, she's getting ready to go to XenaCon, which is in Paris, France.
Oh, even now there's a XenaCon?
There's a XenaCon.
So she's still on and popping.
Well, yeah, it's like fucking the Comic-Cons, the fucking, like, the whatever it is. It's like, there's always going to be, like, that niche type of, like, nerdum that's going to be around. And so... my sister and her girlfriend went all the way to Paris, France to XenaCon, and there's a Q&A with, like, Lucy Lawless, the girl that played Xena.
Is she, how's she look? Have you seen her lately?
She's still beautiful. She's still gorgeous. And the thing is like, one by one, fans were, like, walking up to the podium and asking for the questions. It was the same question time and time again. They're like, so were you and Gabrielle, like, gay?
You mean Gabrielle was her partner on the show, right?
Yeah, the blonde-haired chick.
Oh, yeah.
And then Xena was like, no, we're straight. She was just a really close friend, blah, blah, blah. They're like, yeah, but, like, you guys made out a lot. And then she was like, well, that was just...
They made out on Xena?
Yeah, just, like, twice or, like, maybe 3 episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What episode was this?
I don't know. Like,
Jesus, that must have been the later episodes, because I never saw that.
And then, like, there's just always, like... And then, of course, there's fan fiction. And fan fiction, what fan fiction really is just people getting...
Like hentai porn?
Yeah, well, like, fan fiction is just, like when people Donald getting Duck... creative control over, like, their favorite upbringing and just making it into a porno. That's all fan fiction really is. So, like, it's just a bunch of, like, fan fiction Xena films out there.
Imagine how many Xena fucking pornos, like, cartoons people have probably made.
Dude, tons.
I've never seen one. I'm gonna look that up later. Like, but, Xena porn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, did you see Avengers Endgame?
Yeah, amazing.
You know, everyone that I've talked to about that one has not complained. I haven't heard one bad. Do you have one? You have a bad? Oh, well, no, you got
as a bad one? As a nerd.
Okay, let me hear your nerd shit.
I will say, as a nerd, it wasn't the best Marvel film.
Oh.
It was a great close to a lot of the storylines.
Whoa. Okay, so, all right.
So, it was a great close to the storylines, obviously, because, like, you had the perfect ending for Tony, you had the perfect ending for Cap, you had the perfect ending, or you had a great continuation for Thor.
And our homegirl, too.
Who? It's Scarlett Johansson.
All right, we won't give any spoilers. Well, by now, I think everyone's fucking seeing it.
Well, no, just the Avengers, like, they...
Did you cry when she... She's done, though, right?
Okay, well, that's the spoiler. The Russo brothers pretty much mentioned that she's done.
She's done.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So that's the thing.
Remember when Thanos threw fucking his daughter in the first one?
Yeah. So that's the thing where it's just like, I think the first part was obviously slow. There's a lot of unnecessary parts, but it's just like, you obviously saw how they're building
it. What'd you think of the fat Thor? Was that hilarious?
That was hilarious.
He kind of reminded me of me. I was like, that's me if I was Thor. Just all fucking... He was all, like, alcoholic. Fucking...
Yeah.
I love that, dude.
Yeah.
Is that... Was that his real body at the time?
No. That was all not CGI, but maybe makeup?
Okay, so he's not, like, fat like that.
Also, okay, so there's some plot holes with the time shit. Like, how they're, like... I'm not sure if you remember with Hulk explaining to... the girl from Doctor Strange, she was like, if you simply take an Infinity Stone from this timeline, then you're changing the timelines as we know it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, but no, what we will do is put it back, so that way nothing changes, right? Why is it, at the end, I'm probably going to give away the end right now.
Fuck it, dude. If you guys are listening, I'm sure you've seen it by now. Yeah. If you haven't, there's something wrong with you.
So, what's the point of Captain America staying in the past and falling in love with Peggy? What's the point of him living out his whole entire life with Peggy, blah, blah, blah?
Peggy was Scarlett Johansson, right?
No. Peggy was the girl at the end where, like, Cap is dancing and makes...
Yeah, I thought that was Scarlett Johansson.
No, Scarlett Johansson is Black Widow.
So, wait, Peggy was the chick that he, like, loved?
Yeah, from the origin story. So, okay, Peggy... Yeah, so the thing about that is like, with Captain America having to put all the... He goes back in time, puts all the Infinity Stones back in their original place, but he doesn't come back. Doesn't that shift a timeline? Doesn't that, like... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. The end was a little, like... It's funny that you said it, because I did feel a little, like... A little off.
There was also the army. How, like, okay, like... Even though the fight scene was pretty badass, it was okay. Like, all right, so they had to wear those wristwatches or, like, those things around their hands to travel through time. But how in the fuck did Thanos' army of 2014 manage to travel through time to fight the fucking current day Avengers?
Okay, you're a real nerd.
That's for sure. Because... But, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, dude, how the fuck did that giant spaceship from the army... How is that able to come up to present day and then fight that shit?
That's true.
So, yeah, there's a lot of time.
Yeah. What'd you think about the beginning when they found him and they, like, chopped his head off? Like, that was legit real, right? They really found him.
Yeah, no, that's him dead. So he destroyed the Infinity Stones, like, so that...
Because the beginning, he was like, he destroyed him because it made him too evil or something, or...
No, it didn't make him too evil. It was just, like, it served his purpose, and he didn't want it to be undone, so he knew the only way... it can never ever be undone again is by him
destroying
them.
And that's when they beheaded him.
Yeah. So they're thinking for the 5 years that it's just like there's no way they
can. Okay, how sick was it when you thought when fucking Captain America got the hammer, dude?
Dude, I fucking...
Did you lose your mind? The crowd...
In my head, I was like, that better not be fucking Captain Marvel.
Was it just saying he was worthy of the hammer?
Yeah, because, like, they teased it. Did you ever see Age of Ultron?
I think so. Yeah, I did.
It's in Age of Ultron, there was that one scene where it was, like, they're all pretending... they're not pretending. They're, like, literally trying to pick up Thor's hammer. And they were one by one trying to see who can, like... Who is worthy.
Captain America is the only one that's worthy.
Like, Captain America was the one that nudged it but never could pull it off. But at the same time, like, Chris Hemsworth, like, with Thor, like, he was kind of like, oh, shit, he may have a shot. And then, like, when he didn't, he was like, ha, ha, ha. He just, like, nervously giggled. So when he did it that time to pick up the hammer in desperation mode and fuck up Thanos in that scene.
Which I think he did the most damage.
Yeah, no, and that's
the thing. For sure brought... Well, him and Marvel got him pretty good, too.
And that was the thing. I just didn't like the fact that Marvel had to come by. Like,
it's just because her movie's so recent.
But, it was also, like, she didn't even get more than 10 minutes of... In a 3-hour film, she didn't get more than 10 minutes.
And then she just decided to be the...
And she's fucking God. You know what I'm saying?
At the end. And Black Panther got in it. Nah, he got raped.
I don't... Well, here's the thing. He died in the first one, you know what I'm saying? Like, he got vanished, or, like, and so he got brought back to life, which I don't mind.
How did he do in the battle? You think he killed it?
He was alright.
Captain America, well, he definitely fucked it up the most, right?
I just think, okay, for the way they send off Captain America, perfect storyline all throughout the Marvel movies.
It's funny because, like, I wasn't that, like, as a comic guy, I was not the biggest fan of him.
Of Captain?
I love Captain, but I mean, if you're gonna ask me if I like the Wolverine more... But what sucks is, like, you know, in the real... I have it in there. Those comics right there, I got the whole series.
Yeah.
But in the real shit, dude, they had way more homies in there.
For the Avengers?
Oh, yeah. They had the X-Men up in that bitch.
Adam Warlock would have been present in this timeline.
Silver Surfer. Because, honestly, in the real things, Silver Surfer is who got him.
Adam Warlock.
Warlock and thought Silver Surfer. I'll quote me if I'm wrong. I don't know if there's nerds out there. They're gonna like email me all mad. But I thought Silver Surfer was a key dude who fucked him up at the end.
So my understanding. Well, there's also been different interpretations or different outcomes for the Infinity Gauntlet. But like the original Infinity Gauntlet had what's the girl's name? Nebula. The robot.
Oh.
Thanos' daughter.
The Guardians of the Galaxy chick.
She got a hold of the gauntlet, and then she used it to fuck up Thanos. And then she became, like, this, like, over-possessive, powerful person that they had to stop, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Like, all the people you saw at the end touched the gauntlet. Everyone that you saw wield the power of the stones at one point was a tribute to everyone that you've seen in the comic book.
Oh.
Hold it at one point.
All right, so we only have a minute left.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite one, since you said this isn't it?
Civil War.
Oh, Captain America? Yeah. Too? Okay.
Because here's the thing, like...
The one with, what's his name, War Soldier or whatever?
Well, like, Winter Soldier, yeah, he's in it, but, like, I think that's a very defining film in all of the MCU films, and it's because... Captain America is always going to do what he feels is right, even though it may go wrong. And proving after what he thought was the American government and how you're thinking, like, oh, he's supposed to be loyal. And in the previous film, he found out that Hydra was a part of the government and shit like that. He's not always going to trust what America, what's right for America.
So you feel like he's, like, the dopest in terms
of... He's always going to trust what's right for his gut. And so he doesn't want to listen to Robert Downey Jr. or Iron Man, who's going through his own PTSD phase and shit like that. That's why I liked Captain America. And that's why I thought... It could have been an Avenger film. They could have called it Avengers Civil War or something like that. They called it Captain America because he's the one that outlines the entire fucking franchise.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, dude, where can we find you, and do you have any gigs coming up?
Instagram, at Third Eye Kind.
Third Eye Kind.
I'm going to be Friday in Long Beach at Alex's Bar with my boy Danny Frank. Adam Myers is closing it out.
Shout out Josh Adam Myers. Haven't seen that dude in a while.
Yeah, and he's a cool-ass dude, so... Check out F It's For Family, the show that he's on.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. I love you, Zach. Thank you for dropping by. Hang with Wang. And we'll talk to you bitches later. Peace.
Thanks, George.